You're now locked in to HBCU Pulse. We're the number one outlet for HBCU life, talking about everything that's important to our culture. From on-campus issues to politics and what's trending on the yard. We always keep that same energy. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Randall Barnes, the founder of HBCU Pulse and the host of HBCU Pulse Radio, in the building for another special edition of the show on today, where we are continuing with the really cool, really dope, high-quality interviews that we're making happen. SiriusXM, HBCU Pulse, Clutch Points, we're out here doing our thing in a big way. I'm so excited for where the brand is going, and I'm so excited for everyone supporting us. So we gotta bring you another quality interview and another quality HBCU moment. Now, if you listen to Ariella and I talk HBCU football on HBCU Pulse Radio, you already know a lot about the brother that we have on the show today. We have Davius Richard, former North Carolina Central quarterback, 2022 Celebration Bowl champion, in epic fashion over the Jackson State Tigers, led one of the most prolific offenses in HBCU football this past year, and went right into the FCS playoffs against Richmond, making it happen. He is trying to get on that draft board and get drafted to the NFL and be the first HBCU quarterback selected since Tavarius Jackson in 2006. So listen, I spoke it to existence. He is going to be the first quarterback from an HBCU draft. We already know that. We talked about that. We know what's up. Davius Richard is a good brother. He is knowledgeable. He's passionate about HBCU football. And one thing about Davius Richard that you will find out in this interview is that he wants to be an ambassador for HBCU football. And I think that is amazing. We talked about so many amazing things. We talked about his North Carolina Central career and what he's most proud of in his legacy. Of course, we had to talk about the 2022 Celebration Bowl. Now, it wasn't a Deion Sanders conversation like that. We did paint the picture of the circumstance of Deion Sanders leaving Jackson State and that being the last game that Deion Sanders coached, but it wasn't a Deion Sanders conversation. It was about the moment of the Celebration Bowl and how epic it was with the storyline and the importance and the intensity leading into that matchup. But we also talked about a topic that might be more newsworthy than that. We talked about the Celebration Bowl versus the FCS playoffs, because there's been a huge discussion in HBCU sports spaces about if the Celebration Bowl really benefits the HBCU athlete that wants to go to the NFL, or if we should play against the FCS teams that make the FCS playoffs because they're the best of the best in the division. So Davius Richard played in both Celebration Bowl 2022, FCS playoffs 2023. So we got his opinion on which one he liked the best. And I think no matter what, it's going to be a newsworthy discussion. All right. So make sure y'all stay tuned. If you're listening on SiriusXM right now, make sure to head over to HBCU Pulse on YouTube and HBCU Pulse Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts, because you do not want to miss all that we talked about, because it was an amazing interview. We had a lot of fun too, all right? But if you're listening to the podcast, y'all are gonna love it. Davius is a great dude, and I have no doubt in my mind that he is going to be a star and a standout in the NFL, representing North Carolina Central, but also representing all HBCUs. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
You're listening to the HBCU Sports Playbook on HBCU Pulse Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is Randall Barnes, the founder of HBCU Pulse and host of HBCU Pulse Radio, in the building for another special edition of the show on today. Well, listen, it's the spring right now as we're recording this. Football season's over. It's basketball season right now, March Madness. But listen, it's also NFL draft season. And you already know in HBCU football, you already know we got guys here. We got one guy that's really the man that really does things. We all see him. We all talk about him. We got Davius Richard in the building, North Carolina Central quarterback, drafty in the building. And I'm going to go on and speak life to this. He's going to be the first HBCU quarterback drafted since 2006 in the building. How you doing, Davius?
I appreciate it, man. I'm doing good. How about you?
Man, I'm great, man. I want people to know on the podcast radio feed, I got my Lamar Jackson jersey on because, number one, I want to, you know, come with a little drip. People going to watch this interview and listen to this interview, so I got to drip a little bit. But also, I want you to get drafted by the Ravens. It would be cool if you drafted by the Ravens and you run that RPO with Derrick Henry. That'd be crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Like, but man, listen, I'm pretty good. So first and foremost, how's everything going? How you feeling leading to the draft process? How's everything going with you?
It definitely been an experience. Just being the first time to go through it, and then just knowing a couple guys, talking to them about their process. But it's just like different actually going through it. But I've been embracing it day by day, the good and the bad times. But I've been enjoying it. Like, it's honestly a blessing to go through it.
I feel that. So you're currently still a student at North Carolina Central, right?
Yes, sir. Pursuing my MBA.
So how is that? So you're a student and you like this HBCU football starter quarterback. You trying to get drafted in this historic position. So how is that?
It can be difficult at times as far as just like time management. You know, you got to turn in work and things of that nature. But I mean, one of my main goals going to school was to get a degree. And I was thankful enough to graduate with one in 2022. But and also having the ability to pursue my master's during my last season of play and continue, as you mentioned earlier, like right now. So just being really just trying to balance that out, make sure I make time for it.
I love it. I love it. So let's really go back in time, because you at North Carolina Central, getting your MBA, making it happen, but you chose North Carolina Central as your HBCU. So I want to ask you that. What made you choose North Carolina Central as your HBCU?
For real, it all comes down, I feel like, when I took my visit, like leading up into the process when I started talking to Central, Coach Oliver, it was just like a lot of talk. But one of the big impressions that he did, that made an impression on me and my family was coming down to Florida, make sure he meet me face-to-face and meet my support face-to-face. And then once I went on my visit, it was basically the same thing. You know, they had the little orientation and things of that nature, telling me the game plan. One of the game plans as far as football wise, he emphasized was, if you want to play for a championship, this is going to be the program. So that kind of stuck with me. And then just also the academic game plan as far as like me picking my major and deciding what I wanted to do. And then just like really that, being able to talk to some of the guys that was on the team from a year previously and that was able to see the previous head coach and Coach Oliver for that spring. And then just talking to them, talking to the support staff as far as the academic team, and then just even some of like the custodian people and like the cafeteria people. When I went up there, it didn't feel like I was far from home, being from Florida. That's like a 9-10 hour drive from NC to Florida. But so I went up there, it didn't feel that far. Like, it felt like I was at home. So I ended up committing before I left that Sunday to go back to Florida. And I mean, the rest was history after I signed that paper.
I love that. So when it comes down to it, so were there any other schools that were in the rotation outside of North Carolina Central?
Yeah, so the way my recruiting played out was kind of a little tricky. Going at the end of my senior season, ultimately I had Colgate, Delaware State, and Alabama A&M. I was leaning more towards Alabama A&M. I think they had like a coaching style change or whatever. So the coach that was recruiting me down ended up going to Central. And I guess they were, him and Oliver talked about it. They started recruiting me in January. Then at that time, it was really Central, couple of D2, some prep schools, and EKU kind of entered the picture a little late leading up into my visit. But like I said, of course, like to the conversations I had over the phone with him and the office coordinator at the time, and then just going up there, I kind of knew, like, before I left, I knew that where I wanted to go at.
I love it, man. Listen, you and the SWAT would have been interesting. Tell you that. We went to Alabama A&M. But you it would have been interesting. But man, listen, you where you needed to be, man. You were at North Carolina Central making it happen. So what we're going to do is we're going to walk through each year, and we're going to talk about each year in its totality and also some events that happened during that year. So let's talk about 2019. So tell us about that first year, your freshman year.
Yeah, I still remember like it was yesterday, even though it's about 4 years ago. Reporting camp in July, like for the first time, I remember orientation, going through the class, scheduling, then ultimately moving into my dorm for the first time. Like, I had like 2 hours, move into the dorm, and we had a team meeting the same day. And then just walking into the auditorium, seeing just like a whole bunch of new faces, it was like surreal. Like, it was like the realization, like, dang, I'm done with high school. Like, I'm here with nobody that I know, like from a can of paint. But that, so, you know, you got some workouts eating in the camp. Then really, I already kind of knew I was going to be kind of in the back half of the depth chart, just being a freshman, them having two previous veterans coming back, along with some transfers coming in. So my mindset was really just like, all right, let me just make sure I know the offense as much as I can, just in case I'm ever called upon. And then just really focus on school, get ahead of that, make sure I start off on a good foot. Then, like you may know, ultimately, around, like, the third game of that season, my name was called, and then I still ended up starting the rest of the season.
So how do you get prepared for that? Because I know that in those moments, like, you know you're talented. You had these different schools that were going for you, and you got to sort of wait for that opportunity till you got that third game. So, like, how does it feel to sort of stay prepared and stay ready? Like, how do you do that?
I think it's all a mindset thing. Like, you probably talk to a lot of guys that's in the NFL that's, like, going to beat the practice squad, second string, third string. It's like a mindset of just coming there like you started, like treating every day like you started. So, like I said, my biggest emphasis will make sure I get that playbook as fast as possible, just in case my name was called. Like, I never expected to be called so soon, but I knew I took the steps to be prepared for it. So that was kind of like my mindset. Just basically, like, I was still in high school. Like, I was the starter in my high school. I came here the same mentality as far as my work ethic and my determination.
I love that. So let's talk about really something that feels like a relic of history, man. Like COVID, man, 2020, like, things got shut down. Like, it's been 4 years ago, but it feels like it's been 15. It feels like I'm gonna read in a history book somewhere. So, like, you were going through it, like, you were in school, because I know for me, 2019, that was my senior year. So I graduated from Fort Valley State University in fall 2019. So I had to go and be an adult in that. But you were not only a student, you are a student athlete in that at an HBCU. So tell us about how 2020 was like for you.
It's funny, because you said it felt like so long. It's already in the books, like, as far as the curriculum in high school and stuff. I done seen pictures. They already talking about it. But it was interesting, especially coming into that spring, like, you know, first year coming from a small town and then just being in the college atmosphere. It's like you hear a lot of things that go on through the spring as far as, like, spring ball, spring fling, like, all the events or something, the spring-type events that's going on as far as, especially being at HBCU. So kind of all that stuff kind of gets you riled up. So leading into it, we go to spring break. First spring break, I go back home and just chill. So, like, mid spring break, I'm already ready. Like, all right, about to get back. About to start spring ball. Like, it's going to be my first spring ball. About to get ready. And then you get that email. It's like, you know what? We finna extend y'all spring break a couple of days. I'm like, cool. Who gonna argue with that? Like, you're telling me I can stay home a couple of days? That's cool with me. So we get that email. The couple of days go by. Next thing you know, you get another email. It's about, you know, COVID's happening. We just gonna, y'all gotta come this time, come back up, and y'all just gotta move y'all stuff out. Like, school basically old as far as, like, in person. Gonna shift everything online. Just gonna move to online things. Next time you come up here, you gonna schedule when you gotta move your stuff out of the dorm. So that whole transition was kind of just, like, shocking. Where I was like, I didn't know how to feel. And then just leading to that summer, you know, everybody asking the coaches, are we going to be cool? Like, what the season looking like? This and that. Everybody got positive hopes saying, no, we still on this and that, da-da-da. So, leading up until, like, when fall camp's supposed to start. So, we starting to talk about when we coming back for fall camp, this and that, when we push the report back. We getting dates and things, but at the same time, it's not solidifying, it's not set in stone. So, we still kind of bouncing around. And then, ultimately, like, towards the beginning of fall camp, towards the beginning of the season, we just got that. I remember getting a notice from the coach. Was like, yeah, we're not going to do nothing this season. Like, we're not going to have a season. We're still going to practice, things that niche, but we're not going to have a season. So when we came back in the fall, it was just really just basically the whole population was just student athletes as far as, like, football plus and other fall sports. So we was just practicing the whole fall against each other. So you could just kind of feel, like, how that can just build up as far as, like, the eagerness to play, especially just coming off the freshman season. I'd expect them to play. Everybody just, you know what? We were so close. Like, we did a lot of good things. We did some bad things. During the spring, we kind of critiqued that, you know, we need to build on. And then just, like I said, that COVID, that extended spring break into the summer, I'm just home. Like, man, my homeboys, we at home working out. Like, you know, we got to get ready for the season. We did some our freshman year, but we trying to come back strong. So the whole summer, we just grinding, just to come back and say we didn't have a season. To the fall, we practicing the whole fall just against each other, then get a little bit more hope. December come around, it's all right, we have a fall season, we're gonna have a spring season. So we're gonna have fall camp in December. I still remember we came back, like, after everybody left in December, had a couple practices, went back home for the winter break, expected to come back and be ready to play a little season. Came back, ultimately we was decided, the team or the conference or whoever decided, like, you know what, we're not gonna do it, we're just gonna wait till the next fall. So next thing you know, again, we got a whole another spring just practicing against each other. Whole summer just seeing each other. So that just kind of built up all the anticipation of heading into that next season. Like, I'm ready to put some pads on and go against somebody else. We can't talk a lot of teammates like that. We only can thud as much. We can't talk all that. So we just thud and say the same people every day. Like, man, I'm trying to get that fresh new feeling again, get that coming out the tunnel feeling, getting that first game of the season feeling. So it just kind of just, like, all built up. But one thing I can't say, unfortunately, like, things that happened as far as COVID, but I feel like that played a big part in my development as far as, like, my collegiate career, because I had the whole time to really get the understanding, like, the playbook and better fine-tune my mechanics and things of that nature and become a better quarterback overall.
I love it. I was actually going to hit on that. Like, I feel as if that time, how you're talking about it, is that during that COVID experience, you were working, you were in the lab, you were making things happen. So when you get to that 2021 season and things happen, like, you ready to go. It's been a minute since you played football. So, like, how was that 2021 season?
I still remember the first game we had, me at versus Swat Challenge versus Alcorn. Like, I remember fall camp, hell was fall camp was, going through it, the heater, meetings all day, practice and things of that nature. And then just leading up, we know, all right, we got a week zero game. Like, we're going to be the first game of the season. So just leading up to that, ultimately getting to the Atlanta planet and the Miat versus Swat Challenge, I remember, like, I'm more of like a cool, calm, and collected type person as far as facial expressions on the field. I know how to keep myself composed. But I still remember, like, that game coming out from the locker room, kicking off, we had to run across the field from out of the tunnel. And I remember running across the field, seeing all the fans, just being memorized, like, man, I ain't feel this feeling like a whole year. And getting to the sideline, you know, do my usual prayer. And I just got up and I just felt like a rushing emotion. Like, I started tearing up for some reason, like, not, you know, sad tear, just like, I was just ready. Like, I was ready. And it's like, ultimately, I just came up into tears. Like, I'm just ready to go out there and just play. And then I still remember the first play, read option, and I read and got tackled. And it was like, after that, it was like, we back in motion. And then that's kind of just led into the whole game, you know, coming out with the upset. A lot of people probably thought we was going to lose that game. And it was come out with a hot foot, came out and beat, though. And then ultimately, just ended up the season pretty good on a good note.
Man, listen, you had some success against the Swag, man. Listen, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, this is just the facts.
Hey, real footballers in the MEAC.
Oh, man, you got to get some most mad.
Hey, I'm living MEAC. I don't want to spill, but like, even fam, you, they came from the MEAC. Like,
good point. That's a good
real
point.
Footballers in the MEAC. The Swag know that. Whoever want to talk with you, I'm standing on that.
Okay. Okay, listen, this is going to be the part of the interview. They're going to be like, wait a minute. Because like, we didn't think you're going
to. Yeah, I already know. Because they'll say the same thing. You know, it's a little love-hate relationship. Anytime we're against each other, hey, we going at it. But if it's ABC versus anybody else, we're going to cut it. You know, we cut together.
Hey, listen, that's a big fest. That almost fast forward 2023. But I want to really get to 2022 since we're talking about it. Listen. A 10-2 season overall, 9-2 regular season, then 10-2 season with that Celebration Bowl victory. Since we talking about MEAC versus the SWAC, listen, I could not have you on this interview and not talk about 2022 Celebration Bowl. I'm not trying to bring back up Deion Sanders. I'm not trying to throw shade at nobody. We love Jack State. We love all HBCUs. But listen, that Celebration Bowl was a moment, and I really want to know if you felt the way that we felt about that Celebration Bowl, man. So first and foremost, tell us about your thoughts leading into it, the successful season, making things happen, and then you're in the Celebration Bowl. Tell us how you were feeling going into that game.
I was really just before going to that game, it was like just a feeling of appreciation. Because I like to say that it didn't just happen that season. Like, it built it up since my freshman year. As far as you look at the statistics, as far as I reckon, you just see the improvement. It's like, all right. And then on top of that, the previous season, we came close. What our record was, I think 6-4. But we was at the end of the season, we was banking on some like other MEAC teams as far as the matchups to go a certain way so we can get into that picture. But ultimately, it didn't. South Carolina State went. So it was like we still had that kind of bitter taste. Like, dang, we were so close. We could have had it. We almost was there. Like, we was going to be in the chip game. But unfortunately, we didn't do what we're supposed to do. We were too busy trying to focus on making sure somebody else did it for us. So coming to that season at 2023, we was like, came into that mindset of like, all right, we got that little taste as far as like how close we was. Like, do we want to kind of end in that same boat? Like, once this season end, or like, we're going to take matters into our own hands and just, you know, handle our business. So that just kind of put it all into perspective as far as the success to that season. Like, a lot of those guys on the team, we been there since 2019. A lot of those guys been there since 2018. So we seen the ugly part as far as these programs, as far as that 4-6 season. My freshman year, almost getting up at 21. So we already been through kind of the hard rebuild and things and just building up. So this season, you know it, we're going to make our mark. So leading to after we done found out we was going, we wanted MEAC, it was just like, all right, yeah, it's game time. It's time to go. And then just leading up into the game. And then the thing we do is, I can say, we pride ourselves in not being like a social media team. So, like, you know, people going to have their score predictions. That's people's job to do things of that nature as far as getting predictions, things of that nature. But we try not to bite into it or let it feed into us. We like to put our head down and work, don't worry about whatever they're saying on social media. So going into that game, of course, you got the score predictor. They saying, oh, heavily favored Jackson State. I mean, I understand they was coming to the game, what, 11-0, I think? 11-0, 10-0, they was coming to that game. So I understand. Then they beat teams that we have fought, fell short to. Like, one of our losses went to Campbell that year. And then they beat Campbell at home, I believe. So it's like, I understand why they're getting all the hype. But at the same time, it's like, we here for a reason, too. Like, we didn't just walk. We didn't just like, hey, you know what? We're going to pull out a raffle. Y'all going. We worked to get here. So just kind of hearing that and seeing that kind of just added fuel to the fire as far as, like, how we approach the game. But we approach, like, every game that season, like, that way. That's why we end up being there. So, like I said, leading up to the game, hearing all the score prediction, things of that nature. Then ultimately getting to Atlanta. For the most part, we were separate as far as team-wise. Then we had, like, a dinner that night. As far as we was on this side, Jackson State on that side, then you can kind of just feel the intensity in the air. I think it was like a Wednesday or Thursday night, but you can feel the intensity in the air as far as just like to get the guest speakers out there speaking and stuff, but so you just can feel it. You can feel it building up, ultimately leading up into pregame and then just having to share the field and things of that nature, things going down, whatever, it kind of just like, all right, we can't, our coach always say, hey, you can't do nothing. You know what you can do? Go put that Rodell on. Put hands and feet on him. So we was really just waiting to that kickoff to do so. And now coming now, I remember like our first drive. I want to say it was the first play. We had the run play to gave it the move. First play hit it for like 10 yards. And once I seen it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be serious. It's going to be a game. Because we came in knowing they could put up points, knowing it was going to be a close game. But it was going to be whoever made the fewest mistakes and whoever fought all the way to the clock hit 0-0-0. And ultimately, that's what we did. That's why we came out of victorious. Not saying they gave up or anything, but we just came in there with a different mindset.
Don't go anywhere.
Y'all know who I am, right?
Yeah. HBCU Pulse Radio will be right back after this commercial break.
What's going on, everybody? This is Randall Barnes with HBCU Pulse. And listen, I want to let y'all know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And listen, BetterHelp is actually one of my favorite sponsors. You want to know the reason why? Because I use BetterHelp. Yes, I use BetterHelp. And I'll do you one better. I actually had a BetterHelp therapy session earlier today. Opened my mind. Therapy is so important. And first and foremost, I want to say shout out to BetterHelp for everything that they're doing, the system, the setup, the vibe, everything about BetterHelp. I love the way to communicate with your therapist, the way you can do worksheets, you can journal, you can share it with your therapist, and you can help them be along with you for your journey. That is why I love BetterHelp. It's helping me grow. It's helping me process a lot of things that I went through back in the day, in the past, when I was younger, a few years ago, even some things going on now and helping me grow into a better person, because that's what therapy does. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/HBCU today to get 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/HBCU to get 10% off your first month of therapy. And of course, like always, tell them Randall sent you.
Welcome back.
In 4, 3, 2, 1.
To HBCU Pulse Radio, the heart of HBCU culture.
Yeah, for sure. It was a fight. And you talking about that moment, the moment that really got me. I'm watching. I'm at home. I'm watching on ABC. You got Travis Hunter. He's the guy doing good things at Colorado, playing, you know, wide receiver, defensive back. So it's like, hey, you don't throw the ball over to a defensive back that's like that. Uh-huh. You threw that ball, and then it went far. And he caught it, and I thought it was going to be a touchdown. I was like, yo, this is different. Because like, they always said, don't throw the ball his way. No, you were like, there it goes. Yeah. Like, that was the part that was tough to me. And just, you said, like, essentially, like, you heard, like, the score predicts. You heard different stuff. I want to say, number one, at HBCU Pulse Radio, we picked y'all, okay? We were saying, hey, listen, North Carolina Central are going to win. And my co-host, Ariel Kilgore, she's a North Carolina A&T alumna. She's an Aggie. But she was like, nah, David Richard like that the whole entire year. She was covering the MEAC. He said, y'all would like that. So, listen, a lot of folks switch up on interviews and be like, nah, we picked y'all. Nah, go back and look at the YouTube. We was like, North Carolina Central is going to win that, right? But the thing about it is so crazy about that buildup is going into the SWAC championship, you know, Deion, Coach Prime, he leaves. We find out he's leaving Jackson State to go to Colorado. So we find out that he's staying on for the game, and that's going to be his final game. And the whole entire thing was, hey, we're going to bring Jackson State the Celebration Bowl. So there was so much intensity behind that because on our side, as folks that's not on the field, they're not even North Carolina Central alumni, we're like, hey, HBCU football is valuable, and it's more than just like Jerry Rice or Shannon Sharp. We got guys like Davius Richard right now. So it's like, it feels as if like, hey, we're leaving this side. We're going to leave with y'all's championship and go to Colorado with it. So no, we bro. All intense, like, nah, like this HBCU football, North Carolina Central 9-2. And you look at the stats, y'all stats was identical to Jackson State at that point. Y'all was really the same team in the box score on paper. So like, I want to know if y'all felt that even if y'all were blocking out the social media noise, did y'all feel like we represented HBCU football? Was it just another game?
Yeah, well, I guess you could say that. But we know we was really meant that we was representing MEAC. At the end of the day, like, no matter who goes to the Celebration Bowl, it's like, at the end of the day, it's MEAC versus SWAC. We like the product of the MEAC. So we knew we was playing for just more than just us. We was playing more for just that team. It was going to be like a legacy, especially just to North Carolina Central and to their history as far as being first one in D1 history to do so. So we know we was playing for much bigger stakes. It wasn't just like for our product, us for that season. It was like a lot at stake or like, a lot of people was kind of, you can say, counting on us and things like that. So it was, we had a sense of feeling like it was just more than just about us. So yeah, you can say that.
Man, listen, I was counting on you. When I tell you, Davis, when I tell you, when y'all won, and it was the play, because you scored first, like this QB sneak in the end zone, first score. Then, you know, Shador has it. They have the things that happen. And then there was like that, what I think, that fourth down. He throws it. The guy don't catch it. I hop up in the air. I almost sprained my ankle. I was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I came now. I was about to be injured. I was about to be injured reserve, about to be out for the season. Because I'm telling you, I almost sprained my ankle because I was so excited because that was a big moment, not just for the whole entire thing of, oh, he's leaving, going to Colorado. It was a big moment for you all because, like, when you win a championship in sports, how we look at it is like you're immortalized in history. So you have a lot of great players that are overlooked that didn't win a championship. But it's like, man, you're one of the, to me, it's a lot of people, one of the best HBCU quarterbacks. You win in that big way with like 2.7 million people, 2.4 million people watching on ABC. Like, that was big. So I want to kind of ask you this because, you know, you blocked out the noise, you want to represent the MEAC, and you sort of understood sort of the representation of, hey, we're representing for HBCUs. But how did it feel in that moment with that whole entire journey to win that Celebration Bowl?
Well, it was just... like I said, I think what made it so much satisfying is like knowing what we went through to get there. Like I said, it wasn't just that season. To me, it was from my freshman year, knowing like what we went through my freshman year, just building up to it. And then like a lot of the times, I mean, leading up to the game, the coach is always saying like, how you said, BC being in history. He was like, this is going to be the game. Like you win 20, 30 years down the line, you coming back to be recognized at halftime during homecoming, things of that nature. Like, this how y'all write y'all name on the board. This how y'all put y'all name right up there on the stadium. Put it on the wall. Put y'all names in the record books by doing this. So that was definitely the big part of the tour. Knowing, like, once we win this game, just not like a one-time win. Like, we going to come down back 20, 30 years down the line where everybody kind of moved on, different parts of the USA or the world, different jobs, family, kids, or whatever man tells. And then we all can come back and have that moment. Like, bro, you remember what we went through this season? You remember that 10-2 season? You know, you remember after South Carolina State, how we felt thinking about this, da da da, how we lost to Campbell, thinking about this when we went up to New Hampshire, beat New Hampshire, like thought about this, da da da. It's like those moments gonna just matter so much more when we see it in history. So it was like knowing that and knowing what we could build and what this gonna entail as far as just like North Carolina Central and HBCU, where it was like that kind of just like it had added to the motivation.
I love that. So we're going to get back to the Celebration Bowl in 1 second, but we're going to move to that 2023 season because you all, this has literally just happened. It's been a few months ago. So it's like just watching the season, man, like it was so crazy because I feel like just watching your level of play, it was a whole other level that you rose to. It just felt like it felt like North Carolina Central in general, the whole entire team. It felt like Coach Oliver. It was like a whole different level y'all were tapping into. Like when y'all beat like Elon and y'all was beating all these other teams, I was like, man, it's crazy. And I had y'all beating UCLA. I just wanted to say that. I wrote a whole article about that on Clutch Points, okay? I was like, they go upset UCLA. But like it was just a whole other level you all stepped up to. So I want to ask you sort of just your opinion on how that 2023 season went?
I mean, ultimately, it didn't go the way we wanted to. We wanted to two-peat. We wanted to be back in celebration mode. But, I mean, you can always just look at negatives or just appreciate the positive. I mean, we did finish 9-3. We did go to the playoffs for the first time in school history. So it was a lot of good throughout that season. Like you said, we started off hot. We was undefeated at one point versus CAA. Going against those, Elon, Campbell, A&T. So it was a lot of good into that season. And, like, we knew we was going to come into that season with targets on our backs, just winning the championship. So we already knew every game we was going to play, it was going to be like that team Super Bowl, no matter who it was. I'm like, oh, they think they all this, they want this and that. Now we finna show them this ain't that. So we already knew coming into each and every game, we was going to get their best, no matter who the team was, where we was playing at, we was going to get their best just because of what we did the previous season.
Man. So I got to ask you about this, right? So we're going to talk about the playoffs and the Celebration Bowl. This is the part I'm going to let you know that a lot of folks are going to really be looking at because it's such a big debate in the HBCU Twitter, or I guess X streets now, all right, about the playoffs versus Celebration Bowl. Because here's sort of the layout of it, and I want to get your opinion on it. So how we look at the Celebration Bowl is as HBCU students and alumni, we want our HBCUs to be on the highest platform. So you're on ABC, you're getting 1 million, 2 million views for the Celebration Bowl. That's great representation, plus the surefire money on the side for the schools and for the programs. But to play in the playoffs, you're playing against what is said to be the best teams in the FCS, and we want our HBCUs on that flip side. We want the exposure, we want the money, but we also want to show people that our guys, Davius Richard, Mookie Collier, all these different folks, we can go against New Hampshire, we can go against Richmond and win. But I feel like we don't ask the players how y'all feel about it enough. So the Celebration Bowl, the playoffs, both of them have their benefits and all them things like that. But how do you feel? Like, which one did you prefer more?
I mean, no doubt. I would say the Celebration Bowl. Because, I mean, like you said, that LCS is, I appreciate both of them, honestly. And that LCS is going to be like, all right, we're going against these top teams to really prove ourselves. But I only really say the Celebration Bowl because you can do that throughout the season. We done played a number of CAA teams. So if you want to play those teams that be in the playoff area, this and that, you can schedule them during the regular season. But it's only like one time during that season that you can say, all right, I'm the best team in HBCU ball. You're not going to have a schedule of 10 games, 11 games, fully straight, and swacking me at teams. But you can go out there and schedule games with the North Dakota State, South Dakota States, the Elon, the Campbells, and then those teams at the end of the season be ranked. And then you in the Celebration Bowl, but they in the playoffs and you beat them, they ranked. So it's like, they got a pros and cons. And then you can go from the ranking standpoint. Like the previous year, we played same schedule as far as FCS teams and HBCUs, and we went to the Celebration Bowl, but we still came into that season ranked. So it's like, even if you want to get ranked, you can do that. Or you just look at Jackson State. They came into that game ranked. They went undefeated 2 years in a row. So it's like, it got its pros and cons, but me personally, I like the Celebration Bowl. Like, I'm all for the Celebration Bowl. That's basically the Super Bowl.
Listen, that makes me happy. And listen, that was going to be fine either way. This is the interview. It's going to be an interview regardless. People going to talk. But the Celebration Bowl is like that. That is our Super Bowl. Everyone doesn't have that. And even on, like, HBCU game day, we're going to move on to just the other portions of the interview. But, like, even on HBCU game day, they had, like, a conversation with Richmond's coach. And it was like, I was watching North Carolina Central in the Celebration Bowl. Like, we don't have the opportunity because we got it. The playoffs is our North Star. That's what we do. Who's watching Central in the Celebration Bowl, room for Central? So it's wild that, like, that is, like, the conversation, the general consensus. But we still have debates about it on Twitter. It's what people have their opinions, but it's crazy to me.
Yeah, people going to have their opinion. Then you got to understand it's different viewpoints. Like, a coach going to have a different opinion than me. I'm just a player. I'm playing in the game. A coach got different reason to either pick which one he probably want to do or go to. Because it's like, there's a lot of things that play into it. So at the end of the day, it's always going to just be a pain. So you're never going to have a for sure answer as far as which one is more beneficial or X, Y, and Z.
That's true. Let me ask you this before we move on. So one part of it is that I think some folks on the FCS side, because I don't think that their viewpoint is necessarily wrong, but I feel like they also want you all to get tape against like the top teams. Like if it's North Dakota State, for example, like North Dakota State, like they're the ones, like you got like a lot of these other teams, South Dakota State, they're the ones that they won back to back. So they want you to get that tape doing RPO against them, you throwing on them, you running for the, to the end zone on them, because that makes it look better to in that perception of, hey, he can contend against the best players at this level versus just HBCUs. But just my thing on it is I feel like it downrates HBCU players saying, well, they're not the best, and I don't like that perception. So what do you think about that level of the film element of it?
I understand what he's saying. Like, of course, like now I say it all comes to a personal point of view. Scouts or coaches or whoever it may be gonna have different reasons. Like me, my education and stuff is limited. I'm done but 23, so I can't really say as far as experience if like the reasons that go behind it. But I understand where they're coming from as far as the competition, as far as you're saying, like South Dakota or North Dakota being like the pinnacles of like LCS football and playing against those teams and saying like, all right, do he play the same way? Or like, if it's the same level of results. So I understand. So, I mean, it's not a wrong or right answer, honestly. So it's like you kind of, it's like pick a side or your choice.
Yeah, and I think that's valid. And I think that is the right way to look at it. Listen, thank you. Because when you get drafted to the NFL, we're going to be like, what? He played in the FCS playoffs and the Celebration Bowl. So, I mean, I guess we all win. At this point, I guess we all won when you get drafted. Because we all win, and you're going to win for sure. But let's talk about this element of it, right? So what are you most proud of in your North Carolina Central career? Just like the totality of all of it, the Celebration Bowl, the FCS playoffs, the freshman year and coming in as a starter. Like, what are you the most proud of in your career as an Eagle?
I don't even really think it got nothing to do with football. I'm a big like relationship type of guy as far as the relationship, the connections you make. And I feel like that's what's kind of going to impact me the most as far as me leaving now and further down the line is those connections that I made and the people that I ran into as far as my teammates, people in the academic staff, or like people in the support staff or the coaching staff of the team. And it just like shows, like it started showing a few tensions right now. Like I was just, when I was training in Tennessee, one of our old DFOs that is at the University of Tennessee, I was able to call him up and get just meet up with him and talk with him because we had that relationship from my freshman year. This not like 2023 or 2022. I met this man my freshman year. He was gone probably like after the 21 season. And I'm still able to call him, pick up the phone, and be like, yeah, how you doing? How everything been? Or even just like I say, I'm on my way. I'm in Tennessee. I can, oh yeah, man, let's meet up for lunch. Let me see you, man. I ain't see you in a minute. So it's like those relationships. And then that's where I feel like I'm most proud of coming through Central, being that such as the relationship that I made with the people there.
Wow. I think that's something that's important. And I'm glad that you got that experience. I'm glad you're our guy, man, the HBCU guy in general. We had like Devontae Kincaid when I was at Fort Valley, like I was the guy. He was like that. Then it's like we got you, and it's like, yo, like we got someone that can really get into the league and make it happen and really sort of break what seems like a curse, because we get HBCU players that are drafted at the defensive positions, at the offensive line, defensive line, defensive backs, but like we don't get really the quarterback, and that's not happened since Tavarius Jackson 2006. So oftentimes we look at, okay, what is the comp? Like what? Like Davius Richards, is he Lamar Jackson? Is he Jalen Hurts? See, I got to tell you that I got a different perception of my comparison for you. And I talked about it on HBCU Post Radio, all right? You like Steve McNair to me, all right? And a lot of people going to hit us be like Steve McNair. But look at how Steve McNair played. Like Steve McNair like was a dual threat. He had an arm. He can run. Like he really was dynamic. He was really that guy that was a playmaker that was going and getting those wins. So like when I look at your game, like I feel like sometimes, I'm not saying people were lazy, but I feel like we look at a black quarterback and say, oh, he can run, Lamar. Oh, he can run, Jalen Hurts. But you got to look back at that history. Steve McNair was like the prototype for that dual threat quarterback. So like what do you think the comp is? Does my comp make sense? Because you're the football guy, you know?
No, yeah, it definitely does. Like I understand what you see, and Steve McNair was heck of a player. Like his own, I feel like it'll be kind of a disservice to even say I'm like him. Just how great he was. Cause like what he did at Alcorn State, even being like in the Heisman talk and then being dropped there, what he did in the NFL. So it was like, we do got guys like that. We do have the Steve's been there. We do have Doug Williams. We do have the Shaq Harris. So it's like, we got guys. We've been had guys. But like you said, and I think it's just more like a more modern time, and like right now, think as far as comp. they're not going to really think about it, go too far back and think about God like that. They're going to be like, all right, who's in the league right now? Or whose name's been buzzing? And who does he play like? That's why they always say, like, all right, they may say Lamar, or they might say Jalen Hurts, because Jalen Hurts just played for Super Bowl not too long ago. He's more of a dual threat. Lamar just won a two-time MVP. He's more of a dual threat. So that's why a lot of the times those kind of comparisons come. It's just because of the relevancy as far as like what's happening right now in today's time.
Mm. So based on that, so if we're going by now, because, you know, we can go into history. We could talk about the history. But like now, like Lamar, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, even like Josh Allen, like who do you think resembles your play style? Because I watched the interview you just did, and I think the conversation was more so about Jalen Hurts. I know I don't see that, because a lot of people say like, Jalen Hurts is a great runner, but they try to downplay his arm. Like, I feel like Lamar, with my Lamar jersey on, I feel like Lamar got the arm. We'll play about Lamar passing ability. But, like, what do you think is your best comp?
Personally, I feel like it kind of is hard to just narrow it down. It's like a mixture. I do understand, like, the Jalen Hurts comp as far as, like, how he plays, his running style, as far as that. And also what he does in the pocket with his arm. And then Lamar also just like his running style, what he does in the pocket. I wouldn't say really Lamar. I feel like he's a hell of an athlete. Like, he's more shiftier and things of that nature. So if I got to go out, I either have to say either Jalen Hurts or kind of just like a Josh Allen type vibe. So he's either one of those guys.
Hey, that makes sense. I definitely see the Josh Allen side of it. I see that for sure. Just how like you're able to make those plays. Like that one play against Howard was crazy. Like that one play where like you took off for that touchdown. Yeah, that was wild. Like that gave me like Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts low key did the same thing against Josh Allen. As I think about it, like that game went and run. That's crazy. So like, let's talk about this. So one thing we fight against as HBCU alumni is sort of perception of HBCUs. We see it in academics, but in athletics, it's a big thing. So when it comes to players, we want our best players to play at HBCUs, but we talked to some folks that made it to the NFL, and they say, well, I went to an HBCU, but I didn't think that I would get the attention that goes with playing at an HBCU. And maybe if I went somewhere else, I would have gone, I would not draft the higher. Or I left because, hey, I want to make it to the NFL, and I love my people, and I love my HBCU experience, but I'm trying to make it to that next level to change the trajectory of my life, my family's life, my mom's life. So we look at that when it comes to HBCU players and trying to get them to that NFL level. So like, what do you think? Like, do you think that going to an HBCU, you're going to be able to get that opportunity? Or like, do you think it's credence to saying, hey, well, going to the FBS school, or maybe going to that non-HBCU FCS school like a North Dakota State, that would get me further in my dream of going to the NFL?
I like love my, like, my biggest thing, like, as far as, like, being at HBCU. If you can play, you're going to get noticed, like, no matter where you at. Like,
Josh Williams.
Mm-hmm. Fayetteville State. Like, it don't matter where you coming from. Like, they got scouts for every single division, looking at every single school. Like, if you on your level and you making plays, your name is buzzing, they going to come. And then just been this past season, I'm just throughout the duration of the season of practice, just watching this amount of scouts that come through the facility, like throughout the weeks of practice, 2-3 scouts a day, every other day of scouts coming. Then just going to the Hula Bowl and the Legacy Bowl, being able to talk to scouts. Like, so it's like, that was kind of like a little scary or like a little concern as far as like, oh, you think you're going to get the looks of the NFL being at HBCU, this and that. But I had to pride myself, like I said previously, like, I'm a big believer in God. And then if it's in his plans for me to make it done and get drafted and things of that nature, it don't matter why I play that. If it's already set, I just got to do what I do as far as coming to work every day and working hard. And then no matter what level I'm at, because as you can see, I got NFL attention playing at HBCU all 4 years, never went up. No, I didn't come from a FBS and came back down. So you can't come out and say, oh, he went to the big program and he already had kind of that attention. They already knew about him. No, it's like I came into HBCU unknown, not a high recruit out of high school, no stars, things of that nature. And I came to HBCU and made my name and made a name for myself as far as like within that kind of conversation, as far as like, all right, we talking quarterbacks. Who do we got? All right, we got the FBS guys, this and that. All right, who we got FCS? All right, this and that. You know what? Who is this guy in HBCU? Oh, Davis Richard. So then it's like, you can make it happen no matter where you at. So it's like, you can say, oh, business guy get a lot of more attention, this and that. But at the end of the day, if you can play, they're going to come find you. Like, I'm a living product of that. I've seen the coaches come through the facility on, like, a random Tuesday, a random Wednesday. You think it's going to be you just think it's a regular day. Next thing you know, you practice and you see looks on the sideline. You see the Eagles. You see the Falcons. You see the Vikings and things of that nature. So it's like, if you can play, they're going to find you. The more of the story.
Man, I love that, man. That's real. See, this is why you're a guy. Like, when you get drafted, because I'm speaking it, like, that's how I do. I speak it to existence. Like, because when you get drafted and you're the first quarterback since Tavarius Jackson in 2006 to get drafted, that's why you're going to be our guy, because you're going to put on that next level and you're going to make it happen. And see, I'm looking at the reports. I got to write about it as the lead editor of HBCU content for Clutch Points. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, listen, you got the Eagles looking at you. You got the Bears looking at you. Glad the Falcons. I'm a Georgia guy, so I'm a Falcons guy too. He's looking at you. Now, I'm a little bit upset that the Ravens ain't looking. They might be like, we going to lay low. We already know what's up. Because I'm like, because the Ravens got to get, come on, man. Because, like, listen, like, Lamar needs some rest. Lamar, you know, he get hurt or something. You got Lamar Jackson potential and Davis Richard. Like I said, Derrick Henry, RPO. You say, hi, Derrick, wait for this one. You're going to run for the end zone. Like, that's what I'm looking for when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? Because Ravens my team, low key. But I got to ask you about this. So you got all these teams that are interesting to you, for real. And we see, like, for example, Emmanuel Wilson from Fort Valley and for John C. Smith doing his thing with the Packers in the playoffs. You see Joshua Williams, two-time Super Bowl champion. So there are HBCU players getting selected and getting picked. But like I said, it's this misconception, I think, around the HBCU quarterback and why our quarterbacks aren't getting drafted. So just this, as a final thing for this interview, like, what's your pitch to teams to get you taken off of that board as the first HBCU player drafted since Tavarius Jackson?
My pitch would be, just picture who I am at the end of the day. Like, I'm not going to change. I'm going to be the same guy. As far as on the field-wise, I'm still going to be that versatile guy. I'm always that versatile guy as far as being able to offer in both aspects of offense. If you need a passing game, we know this defense not that good. We can go a little bit more pass-heavy. You need me to sit in the pocket, I'm able to sit in the pocket and go through my reads. I'm able to mic ID point, redirect, see potential blitzes coming, run checks, pass checks to get us in a perfect play or a better play for that situation. So as far as the passing aspect, I got that. And now, as you said, dual threat, rushing ability, I got that, to extend plays, to break the pocket, throwing a run. But a couple extra seconds there for somebody to get open, or if it's within that RPO to pick up a first down, 5-10 yards, or that big home run, I'm able to do that. And then just not even limited to just the physical part of me, of my quarterback play. The mental side, like I kind of spoke on earlier, I feel like the reason we had a lot of success is because me and my offensive coordinator was on the same page. I kind of spoke in one of the other interviews. Tom Brady also talked about it. He felt like one of the biggest things is offensive coordinator trying to play chess while quarterbacks are probably on the field playing checkers. And all that come down to, as the offensive coordinator watching film, they will be looking for tendencies. They break it down to defense. All right, anytime on first down, we come in first off the sideline, this is where they usually run. So their tendency is to run. You know what? They run cover four like 50% of the time, cover three this other, whatever. Or third down, 30 long, they're going to go forward, cover four. 30 medium, they get a little bit man heavy. 30 short, they nothing but man. So having those kind of breakdowns as an offensive coordinator, then be able to transfer it to me, and I have the same understanding, because the quarterback is nothing but an extension of the offensive coordinator. So me knowing those tendencies, all right, 30 long, I'm expected cover four. 30 short, expected cover two, man coverage. But by saying chess, it's like on the field, you got to be able to make adjustments. So just because he got a tendency, don't mean they're going to do it every time. And that's like what a lot of our third down success come at, as far as knowing what they're doing pre-snap, or we like to run certain runs versus this front. If they come out in a different front, we got to running a different play. So knowing that, as far as like knowing what defenses look like, what are their tendencies, how they usually line up when they send this blitz, what are their cover zero tells, like which tells, like, all right, they about to go cover zero. All right, now I got to get a cover zero check, take advantage of it. Or we call the man coverage beater. They come out of cover two. I'm like, all right, we came around man coverage. What concept this week do we like versus cover two? I feel like that plays a big part of my game. And the reason why we were so successful, because me and my offensive coordinator had that connection and had the same understanding as far as our game plan and me being able to make in-game changes when needed to be.
Man, I love it. Hey, that's a pitch for you, man. Listen, you are a student of the game. I feel like this the HBC version of LeBron new podcast. Telling you, like breaking down the X's and O's. Like I'm the black JJ Redick. All right. I'm just listening, like, yeah, I'm writing it down. You know what I'm saying? Listen, You gave a lot of game, man, making it happen. Like, man, we're excited for you first and foremost. We're proud of you for everything like that, man. You've done in general at this HBC level, man. You put on for us. Like, you gave us great moments. The Celebration Bowl is always going to be an epic moment to go back to. And you put on for North Carolina Central. You put on for your hometown, your home state, all the different stuff, and we room for you, man. You're going to be selected off that board, like, no matter what. And no matter what, you playing in the league, because anybody, like, listen, if y'all don't pick Davius Richard, y'all fired, okay? Like that. Totally at this point. And it's the Ravens, they fired too. The Ravens were going to fire them too, and they don't pick you. And the Falcons, they fired too. Like, listen, they good with the Kirk Cousins, they fired too. Because you Cut Cousins next person, you're going to be the starter after Cut Cousins. I'm telling you. But, man, listen, Davius, it was amazing talking to you, man. Super proud of you. Super excited for us to come for you. Before we go to everyone where they can find you on social media and also how we can support you.
Instagram, you can find me at 11DWR, Twitter at Davius Richard. And then just support. Just doing the same thing I've been getting.
Like what you hear?
Yeah.
Subscribe to HBCU Pulse Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Also, head to HBCUPulse.com to stay up to date on what's going on in the HBCU community. Thank you for listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.
Continue to pour back into it. So all the alumni, former players, even current players and things of that nature. I mean, go back and check on the team. Go back and talk to them boys. Like, if you can donate this, things of that nature, donate back to your facility, because you'll never know how it helps somebody. That may be a walk-on scholarship for somebody or things of that nature. So always just come back and show support. That's the biggest way that you can show support, either me or just the HBCU world in general.
Yes, sir. Listen, Davius Richard, the HBCU champion, man. We appreciate you for coming on. We can't wait to see what's going up next, man. You're listening to HBCU Pulse Radio.